Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. It is good for us to be together as we continue our Lenten journey from here all the way to the Passion and Resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It is good to see all of you here, and it's good to have all of you with us who are watching on the live stream or who will be watching on the archive. It is good for God's children to gather together and worship, so yay. We have some Sunday school bags on the back pew, so if there are children here, make sure you get a Sunday school bag, right? If you have children coming to your house today or something, make sure you take them a Sunday school bag. If you know random strange children in your neighborhood and you wish to bring them a Sunday school bag, that would be an okay thing, because they are a way for those children to have a craft and a story, an activity that lets them know how much God loves them. And so we do have Sunday school bags. Drive-in communion is continuing to be a delightful thing, especially since the weather kind of got a little nicer this week and folks didn't worry about slipping and sliding as they came. But for all of you who are watching, if you have stayed away from church so that you can stay healthy, know that you are still welcome at the Lord's table. And on Thursday mornings from 10 until noon, we are sharing communion as you drive into the parking lot and I bring the communion out. Please call Lynn at the office so that we can make a schedule, whether it's for this Thursday, the 4th of March, or a week from then or 2 weeks from then, however it is that we can fit into your schedule so that you may know the love of God in that meal. Please let us know. This coming Wednesday, March 3rd, we will continue our midweek Lenten services. The services are here in the church, and they begin at 7 o'clock in the evening this year. Our theme is, If You Are the Son of God, the Temptations of Jesus. And so I invite you to join us this week for the temptation of spectacle, whether you can be with us here or you can live stream us. It is good for you to be with us for those midweek Lent services. Also letting you know that beginning on Sunday, March 14th, I will be conducting First Communion classes for students fourth grade or higher who haven't yet received their First Communion instruction. We will meet in between services here on Sunday mornings, and First Communion will be celebrated Monday, Thursday evening at the 7 p.m. service. Please contact Lynn in the office once again to let us know if you have a child who will be part of this First Communion plan. There are lots of other announcements and information that you can find in your bulletin, and I hope that you have a chance to read through it. But we've gathered this morning to continue our Lenten journey. We've gathered this morning to be in worship together. So please rise as we begin our worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us continue our Lenten confession. We confess, have mercy on me, O God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. Wash me more and more from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. My offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done. Purify me, then shall I be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. From my sins, turn away your face, and blot out all my guilt. A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the good news of God's love. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And hear again of God's love. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. It is the love of God that saves us, and it is Jesus who sets us free. Amen. We sing now together, Mighty to Save.
Oh, Father of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Let us pray. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you have made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ, that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first lesson this morning is from the 17th chapter of Genesis, beginning at the 15th verse. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk with me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. When Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offsprings after you. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of the people shall come from here. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson from the fourth chapter of Romans, beginning at the 13th verse. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom we believed, who gave life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith, and when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who has handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all of this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with the disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Gospel of our Lord. May your Lenten journey be a blessed one. Amen. Today in the Gospel reading, we are standing at the heart of Mark's Gospel, at really the center point in the Gospel. Up until this point in time, Jesus has been proclaiming the good news. He's been healing and helping. He's been calling his disciples and he's been teaching the crowds. From here on in the gospel, Jesus goes to the transfiguration. He's heading towards Jerusalem. And along the way, he is preparing for his suffering and death. This is the heart of Mark's gospel. And as the heart of Mark's gospel, we hear from Jesus today the point of his life and ministry. And as the heart of Mark's gospel, we also hear from Jesus today the true point to our lives as children of God and as his disciples. And it begins when Jesus begins to teach the disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. There is the true heart of Jesus' ministry. This is what Jesus is now working towards. It's what he is physically walking towards. He begins to head to Jerusalem so that all of this will happen, because it must. It must happen. Now, that's a hard word for me to hear, I'm guessing for you as well, from Jesus today, when he says that the Son of Man must suffer and die and rise again. This is not an option. This is not something that could maybe be avoided if we just took a different road or something like that. This isn't one of those situations where, you know, if we all come together and we just do this, then Jesus won't have to suffer. Jesus tells the disciples and he tells to all of us that the Son of Man must. Well, then why must he? Is God so bloodthirsty that Jesus has to suffer to appease the wrath of God? No. God does not require the death of anyone or anything. God's dream is that we will live and that we will love one another, showing that way our love for God. We are the ones who demand suffering and blood. Humanity is the one looking for someone to pay, preferably not me, but someone has to pay. Because you see, the truth is our relationship, the relationship between humanity and God, is destroyed by our sinfulness, by our selfish foolishness, thinking that there is any way possible that we can be just like God. The relationship is broken, and there is a price for that. Imagine you're having a get-together at your house. Now, of course, it will all be, you know, socially distant and safe, and everyone will be wearing masks and all the rest of that kind of thing. But you're at there's a gathering at your house, and a friend breaks your lamp. Now, I suppose you could ask your friend to pay you for the lamp. That's one way to deal with that, right? Or you can say, it's okay. But if that happens, if you forgive that person, you still have to either buy a new lamp or put up with a dark spot in your house where you used to have light. There is a price that needs to be paid. So it is with our relationship with God. Cast out of the garden, there is still a price to be paid. In the book of Romans, Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death. That's what we have earned through our broken relationship with God. That is the price that we need to pay for our sinfulness. But we don't pay that price because Jesus has already Jesus pays the full forgiveness price of our broken relationship with God. And because of Jesus, then, we have a right relationship with God again. We can become the righteousness of God. We are God's children and followers of Jesus. And to make any of that possible, Jesus must suffer, die, and rise again. Because we can't do it. We can never pay for it. We don't ever deserve it. It is always a gift from God's love through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so sitting here in the heart of Mark's gospel this morning, listening as Jesus announces the end game for his life and ministry, we also hear our responsibility to one another. The gift of God in Jesus Christ saves me and it saves you. And Jesus must do this for us. So then, what we do as individuals isn't for us. What I do isn't for me. What you do isn't for you. What we do is always focused on the needs of our neighbors, our friends, our enemies, and strangers. Jesus, now building on his life and death and resurrection, bids us to come and become his true disciples. He says to the crowds today, if any of you would be followers, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. This is Jesus' instruction to us. This is Jesus' call for us to go and live God's dream. And it starts when we deny ourselves. Believe it or not, none of you are the most important person on the planet. Sorry if that kind of bursts your bubble, but it's true. I'm not either, all right? Don't let the world fool you into thinking otherwise. Advertisers are always, constantly telling you, you deserve this, you need to be able to reach out and grab this for yourself because, you are not the most important. Deny yourself that spot and begin looking at the world around you and the people around you. Jesus shows us that our lives are best lived when we concentrate on each other. When we concentrate on the needs of those around us. So he says, deny yourself. And then he says, take up your cross. Now, take up your cross is not the same thing as putting up with something that is your cross to bear. You know, Uncle Charlie is everybody's cross to bear. We always have to invite him, but, you know, stay away after, you know. That's not what Jesus is saying. And definitely it's not Jesus saying, if you're abused, put up with it because that's your cross to bear. When Jesus says, take your cross, it means that you are willing to suffer for another at any time. Take up your cross. Have it ready like Jesus was ready. And if for the sake of another person you must suffer, that cross is ready. And we will suffer for our sisters and brothers. Because that's truly what it means to follow Jesus. When Jesus says, follow me, he's asking us to follow him into suffering as well as into joy. He's asking us to follow him into care and love and forgiveness for others. Paying the price that needs to be paid for someone else. Today, Jesus is showing us that our lives can be lived like his. Our lives can be lived for the sake of others, to bring joy and love, kindness and care, gentleness and generosity, peace and hope into the lives of those who are all around us. Jesus is showing us how we can live our faith to become a blessing for others. Because for us as Christians, faith is an action word, all right? It's not something that you can kind of take out and look at like a trophy or a dusty old something or other. And it's not something that you sort of put back in the cupboard. Faith is active, and faith is active in love. God plants, God gives that faith deep into us as a gift. Jesus tends to the growth of that faith, joining with us so that we might grow and have strong branches that we get to then bear fruit. Today, our faith is challenged by Jesus. Jesus wants us to know that we are saved in the love of God. Jesus wants to know that that is why he must suffer, die, and rise again. But Jesus also wants us to know that we can share that same love with the world around us if we are willing to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus into the world, bearing the love of God with us every step of the way. Jesus must for our sake, and now we get to for the sake of others. Amen. I invite you to rise as we join together confessing our faith using the words we find in the Nicene Creed printed in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophet. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Relying on the promises of God, we pray boldly for the church, the world, and all in need. Your gift of grace is for all people. Give confident faith to all the baptized, that they may follow you wholeheartedly. Give new believers joy in your promises. Give hope and courage to those who suffer for their faith. Lord, in your mercy, all the ends of the earth worship you. From galaxies to microorganisms, preserve your creation. Teach humanity to wonder at your works and to join you in intending to creation's well-being. Lord, in your mercy, you rule over the nations. Raise up advocates for peace and justice within and between nations. Give life where hope seems dead. Call into existence new realities we cannot even imagine. Lord, in your mercy. In Jesus, you joined humanity in suffering and death. Reveal to all the depth of your love shown on the cross. Accompany all who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Restore all who are sick or grieving. Bring vindication for victims of injustice, exploitation, and oppression. Lord, in your mercy, you made Abraham and Sarah the ancestors of a multitude of nations. Bless grandparents, parents, and foster parents, and the children who look to them for care and guidance. Console those who deal with infertility, parents who have entrusted their children to adoption, and children longing to be adopted. Equip ministries and services to families. Lord, in your mercy, we await the day of Christ's coming in glory. Lead us by the example of all the saints whom you have called to take up their cross and follow you, that together we may find our lives in you. Lord, in your mercy, we entrust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may Almighty God, The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Well, stay dry and stay safe today as you go into the world with hope.
Thank God for our mission.
That's it.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Wrestle with the sinner's restless heart.